Now stay tuned for Aapka Kya Vichar Hai? What is your opinion?
Hello and welcome to Aapka Kya Vichar Hai? What is your opinion? Program that gives food for the thought. I am Sheila Dandekar. And today Dan is not here, who you are used to listening to, but we have a privilege of having a guest in our studio. He is from Chandrapur, Maharashtra, India. And he has come here for first time actually to the mainland, and he has come for the Marathi Sammelan and has been visiting other areas of the eastern part of the country. His name is Amol Parage. Welcome, Amol.
Thank you, Mrs. Sheila.
Well, you have come here for. I'm so glad that you heard of our Marathi Sammelan and you were able to come. It was our privilege to have you at the Sammelan.
It was truly an honor for me to be here. It is such a wonderful thing how the Lord Jesus Christ has orchestrated all of these things for me to be able to come to this wonderful land of the United States.
Well, this is your first time to go. You were in Hawaii for a short time, a week or two, some years back.
Yes, that
but,
is true.
But to come to mainland, how did you find yourself? What differences did you find from Hawaii and coming here then?
Well, when I went to Hawaii, it was just for a seminar. And probably many of the people right here in the mainland would say it is heaven on earth for Hawaii. But coming to the mainland is a totally different experience altogether. With the beautiful infrastructure all over, roads, the creativity of the people, the kind of the freedom of expression that the people have. All of these things are really wonderful.
But then you came here, of course, any newcomer finds many things that are startling and many things that are similar as well. So to come to Marathi Sammelan, you felt probably you're back in India.
Yes, because the day I came to the Marathi Sammelan, that very same evening, I was able to eat a lot of Indian food, very specially the Maharashtrian kind of the food of the bhaji and the bhakris. And it was a wonderful thing, you know, for me. Yeah, I felt I was home amidst the people from India.
Yes. Well, how did you feel that some of us Marathis who have lived here a long time and you just come from India, how did you find us here? Did you feel that we are too Americanized? Did you feel we are good Desis?
I would say Desi Americans.
But you felt at home amongst us, right?
I did.
Okay. And how is our Marathi?
Your Marathi is wonderful. Your Marathi is wonderful. But only thing, sometimes there is the problem of sometimes the expression of thoughts in the Marathi language now that people
that comes
speak
in English.
Yeah.
Because see, after living in any language group for a long time, you learn to, it just becomes that you start thinking in that language.
Yes.
And that is what makes it difficult sometimes to express some of the things. And then, of course, I lived here 50 plus years. And then you forget the words, some of the words that we normally don't use. And that happens. Well, I'm glad that you are here and you had a good visit here.
Now
let's talk about yourself. I think I would like to know, you said you are from Chandrapur.
Yes.
And most of our listeners are not from Maharashtra. So perhaps you can tell a little bit about that and your background, and we'll take it from there then.
Okay. I come from central part of India. I come from the state of Maharashtra, and Maharashtra is, counted as a country, probably Maharashtra would be the 10th largestly populated country in the world. And
you mean India?
Yeah.
Maharashtra state.
Maharashtra state in India, in the country of India.
I see. Okay,
so I come
okay.
from the uh-huh. state of Maharashtra.
Okay.
But I come from a portion that is towards the center of India.
Mm-hmm.
There is a place called Nagpur, mm-hmm. which was previously the capital for the state of Madhya Pradesh. In the 1960s, when the state of Maharashtra was formed, Nagpur came to be known as the second capital for the state of Maharashtra after the city of Mumbai.
Mm-hmm.
And I come, where I stay 150 kilometers down south towards the city of Nagpur.
I see.
So I stay very close at the heart of India because Nagpur also has the center point of India.
I see. And then you were born and raised, and your education was in that area itself?
Yes.
In Maharashtra?
In the state of Maharashtra itself.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, well, I know you have bachelor's and master's, and can you talk more about that?
Yeah. I completed my bachelor's in missiology.
Mm-hmm.
That is much more of a theological kind of an education,
mm-hmm.
in the Christian circle, basically concentrating on the planting of churches in different regions.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I completed my bachelor's of arts in the English literature.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Master of Arts in English Literature from the University of Pune,
mm-hmm.
and the Masters of Missiology. And now, currently, I'll be enrolling very soon for my PhD in International Development,
mm-hmm.
With the William Carey International University right here in the United States, in the U.S. Center for World Missions.
So you're going to do that online then?
They have given out their extension program into India.
I see.
And mm-hmm. So I'll be enrolling for that program right there in India.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are talking about this missionology and church planting, and all these are all Christian terms. I know you are a Christian, but I would like to know, were you born in a Christian family? Or did you accept Lord Jesus Christ? And you become a Christian? How is that?
Let me tell you right from the beginning. My grandfather became a Christian because they saw a wonderful miracle.
Who? What was he before?
He was from the Buddhist background.
Uh-huh.
So my grandfather was basically from the Buddhist background.
Okay.
Of the Buddhist faith. And in those days, there was a huge drought kind of a situation.
Drought, uh-huh.
Yeah.
What year was that?
And that was somewhere in the 1950s.
I see.
In the uh-huh. 1950s.
I see.
And mm-hmm. at that time, there was no water anywhere. Mm-hmm. All the wells had just dried up.
Dried up.
Huh? And one day, two missionaries from the Presbyterian Church, they came, and they said that when they began to share about the Lord Jesus Christ, the people over there began to listen very intently.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them said, "Will your Jesus give water?"
Mm-hmm.
"Give water in the well that has been dried up."
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather gave his heart to the Lord, saying, "Lord, I want to believe in you. Lord Jesus, I want to believe in you. If there is water in this well."
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And the missionaries said, "The Lord can do it."
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they came. They knelt down by the well, laid their hands on the well, and prayed.
Mm.
The very next day in the morning, there was a huge crowd near that well.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone came to see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they were amazed to see that it was the same well that was full of water,
mm.
and none of the other wells had water.
Mm.
So that one miracle, that one answer to prayer, simple prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
gave way for my grandmother to grandfather mm. to believe on the Lord Jesus,
mm.
and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ
uh-huh.
as his Lord and Savior.
I see. Okay, so the Lord Jesus, the Lord Himself made a miracle of the water there.
Oh, yes.
And that that is amazing story.
Yes.
So you were born then into the Christian family.
I was.
Uh-huh.
But I was never a Christian.
Oh, really? How is that?
It was like I was just a nominal kind of a Christian. Uh-huh. Nominal or a label kind of a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I just had the label of Christianity, but I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ personally in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know how much the Lord Jesus Christ has loved me.
Mm. And how did you come to that conviction, or have you?
Oh yes, I did. I did come to the conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Mm-hmm. And how did that happen now? For your grandfather, it was the water dried up well, produced water by prayer. For
yes.
You, let's hear from you.
For me, like it was, let me share it to you from my background of my mother and my father. When I was 7 years old, my father passed away. After 2 years, my mother, who was serving as a medical nurse in the government hospital, was transferred to some other area. And the result was that I was left alone with the relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was left alone with the relatives...
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I did have one sister.
Uh-huh.
She passed away.
Oh.
Nearly, it's now 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And... So when my mother was transferred to some other place,
mm-hmm.
I was because of my studies, I was left with the relatives,
mm-hmm.
where I really was not treated well.
Mm-hmm.
For a while I really felt I was left as an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
My father had passed away. Mm-hmm. My mother was not close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of loneliness in my life.
Mm-hmm.
There were the relatives, but they would not treat me well.
Mm-hmm.
They would not take care, the kind of the love, the care, the attention that I needed.
I'm sure, most of our listeners can understand.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so, that created a bitterness in my life.
Mm.
Bitterness towards people.
Mm-hmm.
And bitterness above all towards God.
Anger.
Anger.
Mm-hmm.
I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
And... I used to see my cousin brother living a kind of a life that was a very filthy kind of a life.
Mm-hmm.
But people would still love him and respect him.
Mm-hmm.
He would be into all kinds of wrong things and fights and all of those things, and mm-hmm. people would love and respect him.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to say, why does that not happen with me?
Mm-hmm.
I try to live a good life,
mm-hmm.
But no one cares for me.
Mm-hmm.
I try to behave properly,
mm-hmm.
but no one tries to understand me. People just try to... push me out, push me away.
Mm.
And no one to listen to my thoughts.
Mm.
And so I decided to take up the wrong path.
Mm.
And I said, if people don't want to respect you, be good,
mm-hmm.
why not turn bad?
mm-hmm.
And so I turned bad. I turned towards wrong friends.
Mm-hmm.
I started to live with friends who were addicted to alcohol
mm.
and drugs,
mm.
and steadily I began to be one among them.
Mm.
So it was like I too became a drug addict and alcoholic, but it was just one part of it.
Mm.
The anger within towards the people, and to see that the people would, to make people to respect you, I began to take the wrong path.
Mm.
I began to live in gangs.
Mm.
And steadily it was a story of being involved in fights, being involved in all kinds of gangs and with all kinds of the life that we live
mm-hmm.
as a gang.
Mm.
So it was a very dirty kind of a life that I began to live. And... steadily, it was, I began to see, well, people began to respect me.
That's strange,
but,
huh?
Yeah, that was strange to me.
Huh.
And I used to feel good about it. Oh,
mm-hmm.
now people do respect me.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, I began to feel, yes, I've got a wonderful identity.
Mm-hmm.
But to tell you the fact, I was still lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I was still... without peace in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I needed this peace desperately because I could not bear that loneliness. I could, as long as I was with friends, I used to feel it very good. But when I used to come home, I used to come late at night, sometimes drunk. And even at home, I would try to put myself to sleep, drinking a lot of alcohol, sometimes consuming some sorts of medications to sleep. But that wouldn't help. That wouldn't help me. The loneliness would grip my heart. And I would feel, oh, I should finish my life. And I tried to commit suicide twice. But that did not work out. So I was a desperate failure in committing suicide. I had, so sometimes living in the gangs, used to carry weapons with me. You know, living in this kind of a thing that somewhere, somehow, all of a sudden, some other gang member would come and try to kill you.
And you were still in school at this time?
Yes, I was in the school.
High school? College?
Yes, I was in the college.
College.
I was in the college at that time.
So,
it was like to make people to respect you, I started to be a person who would prepare a gang for a gang war.
So what made you change? What brought things to your realization that you took a good turn?
I had a very good friend. And this friend, he introduced me. He knew my situation. He knew my life. And he knew that the kind of person that I was and the kind of person that I had become now. And he said to me, Amol, why don't you at least once come with me to a youth camp? And this youth camp was organized by a Christian organization called Youth for Christ. And I said, okay. You know, it was vacation time. It was summertime vacation. And so I said, okay, why not? I would want to come. You know, because all the that I had in my mind was, who is going to listen to that boring sermon there? All that I wanted was adventure, move around, you know, meet friends, you know, if anybody tries to argue, if anybody tries to argue, beat him up and come back. But as soon as I entered the campus where this youth camp was being held, it was a totally different kind of an atmosphere. The people who were there had a glow on their face. And there was a different kind of a peace that they had. No frustration. They were so much at peace. So much filled with blessing. And I felt, yes, this is what I want. And as soon as I entered, I asked the first person and I asked him, you know, I told him, what is it that makes you much different than me? And, you know, I want to have the same kind of peace and joy that is in your life. I don't have that. I'm very lonely in my life. And he said, and I said to him, how much money do I need to pay you to purchase that peace? You know, can anything... some sort of money or, you know.
You actually asked that.
Oh, I did.
I see.
I did. Because I had a lot of money at that time, moving with people.
I see.
Living in all sorts of wrong things. So I had a lot of money that
I would
get from the different friends or snatch away from people sometimes.
Okay.
So this person gave me an answer. But even before that, even though he did not know me, this person came and he, you know, in an attitude of welcome, he hugged me and he said, welcome to the camp. That was something very amazing to me. You know, why would a person hug a filthy person like me? And he said, when I asked him this question, how can I get this peace? And he said, just listen to what the preacher is saying. And I said, okay. And to my amazement, for the first time in my life, I not just was hearing the hearing what a person was sharing when he began to open the Bible and he began to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was amazing to me, that I was listening to a sermon. Mm-hmm. Not just listening, but I was taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
And on 9th June, the year 1993, mm-hmm. in the evening, mm-hmm. at that very day, he opened up the Bible and he began to speak from John chapter 14 and verse 27 mm-hmm. in the Bible.
Mm. What is the verse?
And the verse says, this is what Jesus says. And this man, when he began to portray the life of a young man who has been so fallen and rejected by people that he is angry towards everybody and of course towards God, his creator. And for a while I felt he is talking to no one else except only to me, as if I was the only person in that room. And I felt as if I am there in the pit of sin, and dying off, and no one to save me. At that moment, someone comes to me by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "Peace I give you. My peace I give unto you.
Mm.
Not as the world gives.
Mm.
Let not your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid."
Mm.
And for the first time in my life,
you wanted that peace?
I desperately wanted that peace. Yeah. And I said, yes, this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of peace that I am wanting, where my heart will not be troubled, mm-hmm. where I will not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And that very day, I stood up and said this prayer. And I said, in that simple prayer, I said, "Lord Jesus, this man is telling me about you, and my mother has been telling about you. She has been a very religious lady who has been reading the Bible. But today what I have heard is this man is saying that you can take away the sins of my life,
mm-hmm.
the wrong things, the guilt,
mm-hmm.
the restlessness, the peacelessness that is
mm-hmm.
within me, that you can take it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is how you are God, and if you are really God, I want to get rid of my sinful life.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to live a good life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to live, you know, a life of restlessness, a life of chaos, a life of insecurity, a life so dirty that people would, you know, outwardly love you but hate you within."
So you prayed that prayer.
I prayed that prayer.
And you had the peace?
And that very moment I knew I was a changed person.
Huh.
Because that very day, just as this very promise from the word,
mm-hmm.
from the Bible,
Mm.
just as Jesus had promised, I had that peace.
Mm.
And I carry that peace even till now. I never regret my decision to follow Jesus Christ.
Well, that is wonderful to hear that. And I'm sure many people do look for the peace. I think that's the biggest thing that need the person has is the peace of mind.
Oh, yes.
And anyone you can ask that they're looking for peace. And it is wonderful you found it. And I do hope that you who are listening to us today will find it too. We'll talk about it and explain more how you can find this place. But let's stop for a song at this time.
Mera Yeshu hai kitna mahaan, uske jaisa koi hai kahan, uske charnon mein sajda karun, वो ही तो है मेरा खुदा, मेरा यीशु है कितना महान, उसके जैसा कोई है कहां, उसके चरणों में सजदा करूं, वो ही तो है मेरा खुदा। Oh, आसमान अपने एक शब्द द्वारा तूने सजाई है चारों दिशा अपने सामर्थ्य के द्वारा तूने बनाई धरती आसमान अपने शब्द के द्वारा तूने सजाई है चारों दिशा अपने सामर्थ्य के द्वारा क्या है इंसान जो तू उसे याद करे क्या है इंसान जो तू उसे प्यार करे क्या है इंसान जो तू उसे याद करे क्या है मेरा यीशु है कितना महान उसके जैसा कोई है कहां उसके चरणों में सजदा करूं वो ही तो है मेरा खुदा कितना महान उसके जैसा कोई है कहां उसके चरणों में सजदा करूं वो ही तो है मेरा खुदा चरणों में सजदा करूं वो ही तो है मेरा खुदा। हालेलुया
Welcome back. I'm sure you recognize the voice of Vijay Benedict as you enjoy his song. It is from his album, and as always I say that we do have his albums here. If anyone requests, we can send it to you. So our phone number here is 301-879-0474 and email is ifi@danderker.com. We'll be happy to hear from you, and we'll be happy to send you an album as you request. First, today we have a guest in the studio, as you are listening to. His name is Amol Parage from Chandrapur, India, Maharashtra, of course, because I say that with pride because I'm from Maharashtra. And as we say that, yeah, he has been sharing with us at Marathi Sammelan, and I'm glad that you are here today to share with our radio audience as well.
Thank you.
You have been listening to his personal story, that how he was seeking for peace. And he started going the wrong way, thinking that will give him peace and satisfaction, but it did not. And at the youth camp, someone approached, and he heard the message, and he of Lord Jesus Christ, that he can give peace. And he says that he accepted Lord Jesus Christ in his life. He believed that Lord Jesus Christ can give peace. And you said that he did give you peace.
Yes, he did.
Okay. Now you had peace in your mind, and you could sleep better.
Yes.
Yes.
For the first time in 7 long years, that very night I slept a very, very peaceful sleep.
Is that so?
Yes.
Okay, now that was your personal experience. Did your friends and people around you see the difference in you?
Oh yes, they began to see that. They began to say, how come this hopeless person has changed?
Well, how did they call you hopeless? Because you were the popular gang leader.
Yeah. And some of them would say, hey, you are doomed only for hell. my family members would say, you know, you are good for nothing. A person that is just rejected from all around.
And as young person, if any of the young people listening to us, I'm sure they have heard this good for nothing, you are good for nothing. But there is hope for...
There is.
Each individual in the Lord Jesus Christ.
There is.
And now tell me the experiences you had because of this acceptance of Lord Jesus Christ and peace in your heart. And what did your gang member friends think of you? And you share some of the things with us.
When I had this wonderful encounter or experience, I would say, experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ personally in my life, and this transformation within my heart changed the whole perspective of my life. Because after 9th June 1993, when I definitely said to Jesus that, yes Jesus, I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, and I gave my life to him, and he gave me the assurance that I am saved, that he has freed me from the bondage of sin. And the result was, the very next day when I got up, I never needed the alcohol again in the morning. I did not want to speak those bad words that I used to speak.
That was that instant change.
Oh yes, that was. That was. I did not need my drugs or addictions anymore. I did not need all of those gangs or those wrong kinds of friends around me. Because I knew I was loved. I knew I was cared for. I knew God loves me. And the very next day when I got up, it was, I just wanted to listen to what God has for my life. You know, my life changed. Before that, I used to look at people with a lot of anger. But now it was no more anger. It was with much more of love and compassion. Before that, before having Jesus in my life, it was a life full of fights. But now it was a life of reconciliation. I began to move along with the people with whom I used to go for fights. But now it was a changed life.
So you still moved with these friends, previous friends, and you didn't feel uncomfortable moving along with them then, or they didn't feel uncomfortable with you?
Well, they felt uncomfortable with me because they saw a big change in my life. And this, because they were the ones who knew the kind of life I was living.
And they see the change.
And they saw the change. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Hey, Amol, you are changed totally.
Mm-hmm.
Your behavior has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Your talks have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Your very life has changed."
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy that the same gang that I was preparing for a gang war, when they began to see the change in my life, they wanted to know who this Lord Jesus Christ is. And I began to share them about having a personal relationship with this living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of them, even they changed.
Oh, wonderful.
So it was a transformation in the gang itself. And this same gang who had been preparing to fight with another gang, you know, when they came face to face with each other, there was a reconciliation between them. The other gang saw the change in the lives of these people and in my life.
So God used you in that way. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, that is. That amazes me. Sometimes that is just beyond my understanding. How come two gangs are coming together and reconciling, you know?
So
just because of the change that Jesus Christ brought in my life.
So they were all about the same age as you then at that time.
Some of them were elder to me.
Oh, really?
Some of them,
Okay.
And probably well-built than I am.
I see. Well, we would love to talk to you more about this, but maybe we should break for a song now and continue our talk.
Yeah.
Sure, you enjoyed Vijay Benedict again. As I said before, his CDs are available for asking. Our phone number is 301-879-0474 and email is ifi@dandeker.com. I have been talking today with Amol Parage. He is in our studio and it is a quite interesting story of his life he is telling, from turning to Lord Jesus Christ from gang involvement, and not just involvement but being a leader of it. Amol, you were in college days when all this happened, and from then on you have achieved a lot. You had 2 bachelor's, 2 master's, and now you are about to do your doctorate, and that is quite an accomplishment, from life headed for nothing to this. So how do you look at your life or perceive your life goals? You are still quite young and well, not married yet, but you have quite a life to look forward to. So how do you see yourself in this world, what God has given you the rest of your life?
The day I gave my life to Jesus Christ was a day of total change. It was a U-turn to my life.
Hmm.
I would say before I was preparing a gang for gang war. Mm. Today, I prepare a gang for Jesus Christ. I would say gang would be a wrong kind of a word probably, but
yes, I think, you know,
an
the
army
world,
for Jesus, the Lord Jesus
Christ.
Well,
even that is now, you know, people have been so politically correct, so we don't use words like that because we really are not warring with anyone. Simply we share our what we benefited from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would just like to share. It's nothing about war or anything like that, because even if you use the word like that, people perceive us in a different way. So we live peaceful life.
Oh,
and
yes.
We love share our desire that what we gain from the Lord, they will also gain.
Yes.
What are you doing then about that?
After I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when I began to read my Bible daily, and one of the verses that I found from the Bible was about a young man by the name of David. And the Bible talks of him in the book of Acts, chapter 13 and verse 36. It says that David fulfilled the purposes of God for his generation.
And David is an Old Testament person.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, he lived many years before this time.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, he fulfilled the purposes of God.
But David was a young man.
Uh-huh.
And I am a young person.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of parallel like situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, yes, if this is how this person can be used by God to fulfill the purposes of God for his generation, and the purposes of God are never wrong.
That's true.
The purposes of God are to bless people.
Yes.
To bless them spiritually and all aspects of their life.
As you are talking, the verse comes to my mind is that is God's thought. God says, my thought for you are for good, to give you a better future. I'm not quoting it exactly word to word, but what you're saying, that's what reminded
plans
me
to
of
prosper and that not his, to harm.
That his thoughts for us are that. Isn't
yes.
that wonderful?
That
God
so
Almighty,
wonderful.
That his thoughts for us are for our good. And so how good is it for you?
Oh, it is wonderful. The life of the Lord that the Lord has given me. Mm-hmm. I think I rejoice more now.
Mm-hmm.
Than I used to rejoice before.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I can see the very purpose of my life.
Mm.
I see that we might live for, say, 60, 70 or 80 years. But that life has to be a very purposeful life.
Mm.
That life it will soon be past.
Mm.
It will soon be over.
Mm.
But only what we do in this very small span of life can bless this generation and the coming generations too.
So what are you doing to influence this generation, as you are saying that we have to make impression like David did in our lifespan? Your lifespan is ahead of you, but get into that a bit, would you?
Yeah, I would. When I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that was up very much on my heart is my life is changed. I know that I am a changed person. And there are so many thousands and millions of youngsters who are living a life without purpose. And I just wanted to reach out to them. I just wanted to tell them that God loves them and has a purpose for their life. And so to do that, we began to gather the youngsters from different colleges and institutions and talk to them, and I began to share them about my life and began to share them my life testimony, my life story to them.
I see.
One of the aspects that I have been thinking of is to multiply your own self. The Lord Jesus Christ changed my life.
I see.
But it is just one life. I am just one person.
Uh-huh.
But if I train thousands like me,
uh-huh.
I can reach out to probably millions of them in a short span of time.
And this thought came to you overnight?
No, it took time. It of course took time. It took time for me to mature, right?
But that is wonderful thought actually, and you are doing something about it, as you have been sharing that in last few weeks. You are visiting this country and you have shared with us, and it would be wonderful if you just say it in short, how you are what are you doing in that way. I mean, you said you're working towards it, but in definite form, in a couple of sentences, can you say that?
Okay. Currently, we are having a small home for the children of those who are serving the Lord Jesus Christ in the remotest regions in India. And there are 10 kids now. in the future, we envision that there would be 350 kids mm-hmm. whom we can groom and prepare themselves as people who can be a living testimony in whatever field of expertise that God allows them to be.
And what are you doing for the college young people, like the kind of a person you were?
Yeah. To them, we have seminars like, or at times we go to them in their particular region, sit and talk with them. With one-on-one personal relationships, we gather them together to be able to talk. Sometimes we just go out for a time of tea mm-hmm. or coffee.
I see. You know,
and gather them and talk to them around the table, sometimes for food, and just talk to them about their life and about how my life was.
You see that need amongst the youngsters. Do they receive you?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
They do, because they too are suffering with the same kinds of problems that I did. I went through,
mm-hmm.
and I believe that as I found comfort and hope and relief and blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ, they too can experience the same thing.
What do you have in our closing moments for our listening people as an encouraging word?
Well, I would have the life of a young fisherman by the name Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter is a young man who is sort of down with failure. He is an expert fisherman, but he could not catch fish one night. Throughout his childhood, he had been catching fish. But that particular night, he did not catch even one single fish.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an attitude, that was a situation of failure. And probably many of them would have felt would have made fun of him. And Peter might have felt desperate. He was not even looking at them while he was washing his nets. And at that very moment, there is a crowd that is following Jesus Christ. And probably people are praising Jesus and saying, "Hail Jesus, we want to follow you." And just like thousands of people following Jesus. But even amidst that crowd, Jesus came by the boat of Simon Peter. That means, and began to talk to him. That means, even with the thousands of people around you, whether anybody listens to you or not, God listens to you. Whether anybody sees you or not, God does see you. And God understands our failures. And that's where, when Jesus talks to Peter, and Jesus says to him, "Okay, it is daytime," but Jesus says, "Come on, let's go for a time of fishing." And Jesus takes him to fishing, and Peter comes to Jesus, and he says, Peter says to Jesus, "Jesus, I have failed miserably and desperately. And how can you change my failure into success?" And Jesus says, "Obey. Just go ahead and put the nets for a catch." And Peter does that. Even amidst his failure, Peter does that. Probably that was not the right time to catch the fish because it was daytime.
Mm-hmm.
But even in that daytime, just because Jesus said that, Peter obeyed. And when Peter obeyed, and he put the net for a catch, he caught so much of fish that his nets began to break. And he had to call for his friends. Probably these are the friends who were mocking him, you know, making fun of him and saying, "Hey, Peter, what happened to you? You know, you didn't catch even a fish." And, you know, he's calling them and saying, "Hey, look at this. Because I obeyed Jesus, the miracle that has come to my life is so much that I want to share it with you." And that's where is the point of transformation in the life of Peter, as we read in the Bible in Luke chapter 5. And Peter falls down on his knees before Jesus and he says, "Jesus, Lord Jesus." Before that he would call Jesus as just a master, but now he calls Jesus as Lord. "Go away from me, for I am a sinful person." He realizes his unholiness in the presence of a holy God, but at the same time, a God who loves him. At the same time, a God who cares for his life. A God who wants to give purpose to his life. And that's where Jesus gave a purpose to his life and said to Peter, "Peter, do not be afraid, because from now on, that symbolizes a turn in his life, a new direction to his life. And Jesus says, from now on, you will catch men. You will be a fisher of men. That means you will bring people to a living relationship with the living God just because you have experienced God into your personal life. I would say God loves us and God wants to give us a purpose of our life. God wants to make our life fruitful and God wants us to look at our life through His eyes and through His perspective and how He can use just a small span of our life to bless generations to come, including ours, together.
Well, thank you for sharing this. And as you are listening to us, you have heard him say how his life has changed, how his grandfather's life changed because of a miracle in the well. The water came in the well and his life changed. He was looking for peace and he received peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he challenged in these last minutes that God sees you, God listens to you, God is waiting for you. He is willing to do miracle in your life. But we must obey Him first, just like Peter obeyed and put his net, hope against hope. You can do that too. You must obey Him, must receive Him as the Lord has asked us to. Believe in Him, receive Him in your life as Lord and Savior of your life, and you will have the peace that Amul is talking about, and many, many others have received this peace. You too will receive this peace only by trusting in your heart that He is the true God and He has made a way for you. You can do this even now as you are listening to us. And if you have done this, or if you need any if you have any other questions, we are here to answer them. We would love to hear from you. Our phone number is 301-879-0474. And email, you can contact us via email as well. Email is ifi@dandeker.com. And thank you again, Amol, for being with us and sharing your life story with us.
Thank you so much.
I'm Sheila Dandekar.